Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, May the 1st, 2009. Well, the rains are falling and the prices of commodities are headed higher. Can the rallies be sustained in the grains and the oil seeds? We'll ask that question and many more today on Commodity Week. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with eHedger's Gavin McGuire. Our panelists today in studio are Dale Durkles of AgriVisor, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. Here's the way the numbers settled in Chicago, the high and the low for the week and the weekly change. Wheat futures in the day and the overnight trade had a high of $5.16 in the May contract, a low at $5.07 for the week, with a settlement price at $5.57 and a quarter, up 25 cents. July futures at $5.70 finished 26 and three quarters higher on the week. May futures in the corn pit, $4.08 the high, the low at $3.62. Settled at $4.06 and a quarter, up 29 and a quarter. In December corn futures, a $4.33 and a quarter settlement price. New crop December corn up 26 and a half cents from last week. May soybean futures, $11.03 and a half the high, the low at $9.84 and a half, with a settlement price at $11.02, up 61 and three quarters. November beans at $9.71 finished 37 and three quarters of a cent higher week over week. From the CME Group's live cattle, June contract, 83.15 was the high, the low at 81.10. The new lead option June settled $4.75 lower at 82.10. And the new lead option May feeder cattle there at 97.45 were down $2.30. May lean hog, 66.30 the high, the low at 57.80 with a settlement price at $58.47 and a half. They finished down $10.52 and a half week over week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Our panelists in studio again this week are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Dale Durkles of AgriVisor from Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Let's start this program today, Paul, with this question. It was a fairly good rally in the bean market for the week, up 61 cents in the nearby May. November up 37 and three quarters. Can it be sustained?
Well, definitely the news, the Chinese are basically building their grain reserve up to 7.25 million metric tons and buying additional 1.25 million tons of beans in the world market. News that South America's production, not only Brazil but Argentina, is basically 17 million tons under a year ago, all adds up to a very strong situation in old crop soybeans. The marketplace is focusing on 100 to 125 million bushel carryover, and that's good news for a soybean bull as of May 1st.
Well, Todd, I think Paul covered a lot of the numbers there like that. The other thing that does make us think just a little bit about it is as we see all this rain coming in, and we're seeing different farmers, different places talking about a 40 and 80 or 120 different places that they might, that looks water soaked, that they might switch over to beans, does make us think a little bit of how strong the new crop has been carried with in this last week, and will it continue to be carried that much? I think that we do have a much better situation looking at next year's beans, but also talk of a lot lower seeding rates in South America.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. Dale Dirkholz.
You know, I think one of the big issues going on, not only in the beans, but across the board in a lot of commodities, there were numbers out of Barclays Capital in London this week that money, investment money coming into commodities in the first quarter of 2009 was up, even compared to the first quarter of 2008. And to me, that says that, you know, we're starting to see people have more of a sense that, long-term inflation may be a problem when we're going to see this money rolling in. And we've already got the short-term spec funds tending to play the long side of the market. So it's the fuel to keep the rally going, at least for a little while.
Well, you tend to do the numbers quite a bit, Dale. So take the big picture look at soybeans for me on the charts.
On the charts right now, I've got on the July contract short-term targets that are up around 11.12, 11.15. There's a minor number there at around 11.30, another one 11.50. But to me, you get over 11.12, 11.15 by 5-7 cents, and we could have a rocket that'll take it real close to 12.
You agree with him?
Well, you know, the arithmetic is, you know, definitely there for strong prices. We do have a livestock industry that's in shambles here in the U.S., and we've had a lot of bad publicity about certain outside events that created panic in the hog industry. My general impression is that somewhere along the line, the government messed up on the acreage, maybe 3 to 5 million acres on their planning report. We do have to find that. But the verdict is still out, and the bear is extremely worried about if this demand continues. South America keeps their fertilizer supply down. We won't increase acreage down there. That we could have bull year two coming on, and that's one reason why we're seeing this runaway new crop soybean market. It's an interesting idea. And throw the equation in, late planted beans don't yield as well either. So there's some things that are pushing the bull market and the beans, and people are basically going along in the stampede.
The wild card you suggested was, of course, H1N1. Will it have that big a long-term impact on the marketplace? And I'm going to suggest, what happens if it goes to pandemic or phase six, as opposed to phase five?
You know, the outside markets, of course, we've had bad news about Chrysler. There's the bearish pundits are thinking we'll go up to 10% unemployment here in the U.S. So it's not only a problem here in the U.S. finding demand for red meats, but possibly in Europe as well. The marketplace is looking at definitely good demand by China and also good demand in Russia for the meat complex. But at the same time, Todd, there's a lot of ifs out there as far as supply of beans this year and next.
Let me pull all of you so that I get a good sense of where you are. I think that probably I've got friendlies on old crop from both Paul and Dale. But new crop, you're where, Dale?
Basically, even though I'm friendly, it's really a short-term game. I think this is a game that could really spin out in a couple of weeks. I see new crop beans going higher, but it's going to be the drag that old crop's going to carry it.
Well, I think the action is that definitely a farmer does have to have some $9 new crop beans on the books. We saw a lot of people coming in today from our Indiana customers selling a bean up in the 960 area and buying two contracts of corn. It's a wonderful way to play the game. And why not go along for the ride?
Well, I'd have to say that the one thing we saw that probably helped the beans as much as anything that Dale referred to was index fund money coming back in. We saw the crude oil saw its little raise up on Friday. We looked at that. And as they buy crude or crude goes up, remember to keep their portfolio balanced. That means they buy corn and beans generally along with it because of the rules that they have. I think that was as much as anything that helped propel the rally at the end of the day on Friday. I think that the new crop beans are, like I favor Dale's idea, that the old crop beans are going to pull them for a while here, But as we delay and switch corn acres over and do a few things, we might be hard-pressed to see these levels in the bean markets come this fall.
You know, one other point about the index fund money, that money tends to come in at the beginning of the month or the very end of the month. So I think, you know, we're in a position, maybe some of that money's coming in now, and maybe here over the next week we could see some more. But once that's done, you know, we need other things to sustain the game.
Okay. Wayne, can you walk me through the corn market for the week?
Well, the corn market is with the flu pandemic that never quite happened so far. You know, we started out Monday with being under pressure and whatever was going along. And then all of a sudden we saw the turnaround basically in the beans, the crude oil, and the way that the Dow Jones responded quite well. And we bounced on back. We saw very slow farmers selling. The farmers have not been heavy sellers this. Now we are seeing in northern Illinois that the basis went through. They got over $4 cash corn. There's lines at a lot of the terminals up there now, and the basis has broke back. So still, old crop corn is moving at $4 cash.
And when we talked to our cash grain folks on Friday afternoon, they said that $4 corn and actually beans actually got sold too, both old and new crop. Is that the right thing to do?
You know, I think it probably is to start metering out. The biggest fear that I have, you know, everybody's sitting in here thinking about, you know, is this another weather market, and going back to the replay of what happened last year in a weather market that persisted all the way into June. And, yeah, we can have spring weather rallies back-to-back based on what conditions. We did it in 73, 74. The cautionary note here at this point, this one may not and doesn't necessarily have to last as long either. And if we would change the weather by the middle part of May, that changes the whole dynamics of the market in the short term too.
So at the moment, it's rain, 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 and that's what's really pushing the
market. Well, let's go back to the old crop corn situation. Okay. There, you know, with so many people out there and a lot of these hedging services that get up and crow, particularly when the stock market was down at 6,500, basically scared everybody out of their socks. This $4 a bushel mark isn't too bad a way to declare a dividend, particularly on a large percentage of your old crop corn. We still have a very large carryover of probably 1.7, but if you do subtract a couple of million acres from new crop corn from next year, acres planted, you also drop the yield some, you do have a better tone for next year. But my general impression is don't get too cute about holding on for $4.50 to $5 new crop or for old crop corn. The arithmetic just isn't there at this time.
Yeah, maybe we ought to take crop insurance into consideration for new crop corn, too. You have something you wanted
to
add?
Yeah, Wayne brought up one thing. You know, he was talking about the terminal movements and how the basis levels had started to weaken a little bit. This is one thing people got to acknowledge. You know, we're going to have a carryout of old corn. It's still going to be, give or take your number, 1.7 billion bushel. And you've got to be desperately careful about carrying that very far into the summer unless you get the basis on that tied up too. So if people can still get a reasonable basis on some of this old crop corn, I wouldn't be opposed to tying up the basis at a minimum here at this point. But I still think, you know, you probably don't have any huge move to the upside, and I'm talking a dollar move in the corn market unless we extend weather problems into the summer.
You know, we've asked many times, but I'll ask everybody to think about this again, because it has happened in the past that June and July and certainly August have not been pretty when there's a lot of grain left to come into the marketplace and it's at or close to what people would consider loan levels. Is that going to be the case this year? Will there be a glut of grain, and is that what you're discussing at that time?
Well, that's the real difficulty at this point, you know, and you're sitting here at this juncture, you know, you got people worried about corn acres, you got people worried about planting late, but as I say, if we turn the weather around the middle of May, we can still get good number of corn acres in the ground, and as long as we don't have any really tough weather come summer, you know, you could end up with a big new crop, and you could end up with a fairly large supply of corn come the very end of summer, beginning of fall.
I think the basis levels are going to be where the real thing happens in the corn market later in the summer as we get enough supplies. The big thing that we got hanging up over our heads and knowing not how to think about all this, Todd, is Verison gonna, or the Verison plants, are they going to be operational? Is Valero going to get them up and running? Are these plants that are idled, that are sitting like in Linden, Indiana, going to get going again? our big chunk of corn in usage comes out of ethanol usage, and it has really slowed down. If we can get that so it pays, if this crude oil creeps on up back to $65, $70, I think we're going to see some of these ethanol plants get rolling, and that could keep us from seeing the disaster that some of us have been thinking could happen. But without ethanol, disaster.
Well, once again, we were probably one of the minorities out there that said hold out for $4 corn. And, there were some creative buy futures and write in the money calls to help people get there to that level. Also, I think the other factor is that, there is this 1.7 billion bushels of corn carryover. At that type of situation, it doesn't really equate to $5 a bushel corn in the month of June or July. So a person has to be a good marketer of old crop corn, win, lose, or draw.
One final question. Will wheat converge properly as we go into harvest?
It hasn't yet.
God, I hope so, but I think I'm wrong.
No.
All right. We'll be back in just 2 minutes when we'll talk with Gavin McGuire. He's with E. Hedger. Our panelists in studio are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services, Dale Durkles from AgriVisor, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. As I drove through the countryside this week, I'm sure I heard refrains of rain, rain, go away, don't come back until late in May, coming from the fields. Virtually all of Illinois was soaked this week, with northern Illinois picking up most of its rain early in the week and central and southern Illinois late in the week. The month of April ended with precipitation well above normal for the state. March-April rainfall in Illinois was 1.5 to more than 2 times normal in northwestern Illinois. Northwest of the Illinois River, March-April rainfall set a new record at Galesburg and was approaching the record in Peoria. The southeastern half of the state was also wet, but only slightly less than to the north. April temperatures were near to slightly below normal, thanks in part to the string of very warm days at the end of the last week and last weekend. Those warm days, along with clear skies and strong winds, did help dry out fields and allowed some planting progress to occur, especially in the southern half of Illinois. The first week of May is not going to be much kinder to producers and gardeners. It looks like it's going to be tough to put together an extended string of dry weather for the next week or so. The jet stream has been pushed south into the central U.S., opening up a weather superhighway from the Pacific to the Atlantic. That means the weather systems moving through Illinois every 2 to 3 days, and most likely accompanied by showers and thunderstorms. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. This is the May 1st edition.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Our panelists in studio are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services, Dale Durkholz of AgriVisor, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. Our guest today on Commodity Week is Gavin McGuire. As a director of E. Hedger, Gavin oversees the firm's analysis of and commentaries on the commodities futures markets. Before joining E. Hedger, he was director of research at Iowa Grain Company, and prior to that, he worked as a financial commodities journalist for Dow Jones Newswire, first in London, then in the UK, and finally in New York. Gavin makes regular appearances, of course, on CNBC, Bloomberg, Fox Business News, and other channels to discuss all aspects of the commodity marketplace. Thanks so much for being with us today, Gavin. We appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure, Todd. Thanks very much for having me.
How did you see the H1N1 developing in the commodity markets, and what does it mean for the livestock?
Well, I must admit, I was underwhelmed last Friday, a week ago, when the first report started to come through. We had a discussion here, and we all concluded it was probably not going to do all that much. And then Sunday night, of course, the bottom fell out of all these markets, and we were proved pretty wrong. I think, though, in retrospect, you look back now, the market seems to have shrugged it off, but we'd have to agree. The hogs, yes, they've been badly damaged by this, and the meat sector in general will take a few days to lick its wounds and get back. But we still have yet to find anybody who has become ill from actually eating any meat, and I think that's being hammered home now out by the news outlets. So it'll take some time to recover, but it's not a permanent death blow to the market, we think.
Gavin, on another tact, and one that farmers here are probably more interested in, and what's happened so far with the planting season? I know in the western corn belt we've done a lot of planting, but east of the Mississippi we haven't. Where do you get a sense at this point acreage is breaking down, and what's your kind of view on where we might end up on corn plantings?
We're still pretty, I would say, optimistic on the corn front in that although farmers are very disgruntled, we have a number of customers who throughout Illinois in particular have not been pleasant people to speak to and have at home. Their wives have been moaning at them, and 'cause they're sitting around drinking coffee and just moaning about the state of each of the fields. But I think still they're going to stick with corn. At least for the next 10 days, they are committed to going the same amount of corn that they would have liked to have planted were the weather to be fine. I think people remember the state of things a year ago and how delayed they were then. But still, you know, obviously we pulled out a pretty decent crop at the end of it. And so they're hopeful that even though they'll be behind schedule, the economics of corn still looks good, particularly after today's price action. So we think acreage is not really being chipped away meaningfully quite yet.
Do you think that some of our phantom acres will come back as beans?
I think around the peripheral edges of, particularly in the south, we're going to see the beans really win big. The weak corn acres will certainly have a tough time hanging on. Anybody who at best gets 150, 160 corn will be thinking now, okay, I'm a firm believer in the bean story. But I think anybody who routinely gets above 175, 180 still likes the look of corn and will stick with it in a big way, we think.
Gavin, what's your pre-call for Sunday night in soybeans, and how high do you think the November bean will get in the next 30 days?
The Sunday night one is going to be a big one. We obviously closed. I think the July market will be the market that most people will be paying attention to. I know the Nov is where the farmer needs to worry about. But I think as far as setting the tone for the overall complex, July beans ended up today, obviously nearly pinned to the ceiling, and has $11 in its crosshairs. We're going to hit that, I think, overnight there. But I think we will get some selling coming through at that point. So then, when you turn to the November contract, how high can it go? We think $10 has a lot of people has an eye on there, but I think again we're going to see some pretty concerted selling coming through to really prevent us from piercing that first time around. So I wouldn't be surprised if Sunday night and maybe during Monday's session we nudge up against those levels. But then it really is, in our opinion, there was a lot of strong technically motivated buying today, and it, once that's expended, we're concerned about who's left to buy. And that's the sellers, I think, are aware of that. The producers with a lot of unsold or unhedged grain know about that. I think that we're getting a little bit itchy up here. We've made $1.50 advance in July prices just since the beginning of April. That's a meaningful rally, and it's definitely attracting some sellers.
Are you unsure that China will continue to purchase soybeans?
You know, they're... there were rumors a week ago of cancellations. They obviously proved unfounded, and we sold a decent amount this week to them again. But the higher these markets go, the tighter the margins are for the consumers in China. And we're already hearing reports that the crush margins in China are actually deteriorating. When you dovetail that with the somewhat softer Gulf basis that we've had here in the U.S., it spells to us at least a bit of a dragging of the feet on behalf of China in the last few sessions. But you wouldn't be able to tell that from the look of the charts. But I think come next week, if they're asked to pay $10 for new crop beans, then they're going to maybe balk at that, particularly with the nearby prices already trading more than a dollar higher.
So you're not concerned about the Argentine crop dropping in supply then?
I really believe that we've kind of gone over this story enough times for that not to be so much of a surprise anymore. We're always hearing numbers of 34 or so million tons. I think we're getting used to that story now. We're getting used to the fact that we've got 10, 20 million bushels here, and that the Argentine supplies are dwindling. You just have to remember that the Argentine farmer still is sitting on quite a lot of beans unsold from the prior year. And so all told, there's plenty of beans available in Argentina once they do finally get their act together and return to the export stage in a big way.
Kevin, one other thing here, just going back to the acreage thing. Paul brought it up earlier and his thoughts about we were going to see a big jump in total acres when we get the numbers on the June report. What's your take on the total acreage mix here, just looking at the aggregate number? Because everybody was all excited about losing 7.5 million acres on that March report in the major crops.
Yeah, we didn't take that number too seriously when it first came out. I think at the time that the survey was undertaken, it was towards the end of February. We'd had a string of some pretty bad market moves against the farmer, and generally the outlook for the global economy was souring at that time in a big way. And so the idea of spending a lot to produce a lot of acres at that point was not appealing for many farmers. But we still didn't think that come planting time, come right now, that the farmer would actually reduce his acres. We think we're going to see at most a 2 million reduction year on year. But in fact, we're more inclined to see an expansion. We expect to see an expansion year on year in the total corn and bean story. When you think about what farmers really do focus on at the end of the day, it is revenue and it is total output. It is not really cost per acre. They don't consider that as much as we think that they should. And actually, it makes sense for them to say, you know what, I'm just going to grow as many bushels of corn as I can this year and of beans. And I think that to us means that we're going to have plenty of acres of both crops being in play.
Gavin, we appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thank you very much for having me.
Gavin McGuire is with E. Hedger out of Chicago, Illinois. Now a final word from our panelist in studio. We'll start with you, Dale Dirkholz.
I think when the final bullet gets shot on the June planting report that we're going to find total crop acres are going to be maybe 6.5 million acres down from last year.
Wayne Nelson?
I think that this is offering us some great opportunities and rallies at this point to be watching and opportunity to be buying some puts.
And Paul Cooley.
I think it's very important that the farmer does move cash corn in the marketplace on rallies.
And that wraps up this May 1st edition of Commodity Week. Thank you for being with us. And thanks to our panelists in studio, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services, and Dale Dirkholz of AgriVisor. Something to keep in mind, you can always listen to this program anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. You can sign up to have it downloaded to your computer automatically as a podcast or simply listen in to it directly from the website at willag.org. Have a great week. I'm Todd Gleason. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media.